Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, the way that seems right unto man is very simple. It's the way of man. It's man's righteousness, man's will, man's decision, man deciding everything that matters, man's works. There are only two ways, as we've seen so many times in the Word of God. So we know that the end of one way is life. And so there's only one way that this could be in our text. And it's expressed this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. There is a way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now many go in the broad way that leads to destruction because it seems right to them. They're not, nobody wants to go to hell. Nobody wants to suffer for their sins. But this way seems right to them. It just makes sense to people that if doing wrong is the problem, then doing right is the solution. It seems right. But the thing is, they're wrong about the problem, and so therefore they're wrong about the solution. Doing wrong is not the problem, it's what you are. You are the problem. And being what you are, a sinner, means that everything you do is wrong. And this explains what happened in Matthew 7. Turn over there, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is what we're talking about right here. This explains why these people came the way they did and said what they did to the Lord. Because they thought this was the right way. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And notice that the point here is entering into the kingdom. The point of the temple was entering into the presence of God. The point of life is the Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law. What happened when the curse was imposed upon us? We were banished from the presence of God. So what's the point of everything now? Getting back to God. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. That's everything. And so that's what this is, entering the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, everybody's going to confess that. That's not always going to be salvation. You got to confess that now to be saved. Confessing him as Lord, then you're just one of everybody that is going to do that. But look at what they said. Many will say to me in that day, verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done something? Will people actually say that in the very presence of the one that gave himself, that made his own soul an offering for sin because we couldn't do anything for ourselves? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And it doesn't matter what comes after have we not, does it? He deliberately lists the most wonderful things that a person can do to show that it doesn't make any difference what it is you do if you're trusting in what you do. These are the most wonderful things. Have we not preached in your name? How can you do anything more wonderful than that in this world? And in thy name cast out devils, we've helped people, and in thy name done many wonderful works, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He knew everything about them, but he didn't know them. He didn't love them. Never loved them. Not for a second. It's not that, smile, God loves you, but oh, now that since you didn't receive him, you're going to hell. He doesn't love you no more. That's not God's love. He loves you or he don't. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. He either does that or he don't. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. Think about what that means. What is the worst thing that can happen to you? The one who is life, the one who is peace, the one who is rest, the one who is salvation himself, the one who is everything good, every blessing from God, says, get away from me, get away from me. You that work iniquity. Now consider this. What these people were saying was their good works. They're saying, this is the good work. These are the wonderful works that we did. Not only would they not have been enough, even if they were good works, they weren't even good works. It's not a question of your good outweighing your bad. Well, my good outweighs my bad. You don't have any good. The very best things that you could name that a person could do in this life are evil. The problem is not that they were lying about what they did. The problem is they were trusting in what they did. And everything that they did according to the Lord was sin. Same with you. Same with you. Same with me. Ye that work iniquity. That's what he called them. Ye that work iniquity. You know what he just called them? Sinners. That's what a sinner is. That's what we are. The way seemed so right unto them that it was their claim, it was their warrant to enter into the presence of God. And you might wait. You might think, wait a minute though, the Lord himself said that you can enter in if you do the will of God. Isn't that what he said? Not everyone's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't it God's will that we do good? No. Not for a righteousness. Not to establish a righteousness before God. It is not his will that you do that. What is God's will then? It's not left to our imagination. John 6:37, if you want to turn there, but let me read it. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Now think about this. He just said, I came down to do the will of God. What did he come down to do? Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Well, wait a minute, that sounds like something we do. Yeah, it may sound like that to you, but it's not. That's something he came to do. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You see in the Son and believing on him is something he came to do. Now let's look together at what happened just before our Lord spoke these words in John chapter 6. If you would all turn with me to John 6 now and look at verse 26. Now remember, we just read from verses 37 through 40 of this same chapter. This is right before that. John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, not because you're saying, this man does what nobody can do. It's not that they were impressed with him. Not because you, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Everybody wants something for nothing, don't they? That's what most people's religion is. That's what worshiping God is to most people. It's just getting something for nothing. Well, God's people do get something for nothing. But the thing is, people want the wrong thing for nothing. They want prosperity. They want their bellies filled. They want the body to prosper. What preachers are telling them is going to happen. If they just come down an aisle, you don't have to do anything. God's going to do everything, you know, all these wonderful things for you. What people don't want for nothing is righteousness. They don't want Christ. Never have and never will, except for his grace. But because you did eat of the loaves and were filled, and look at what he said, don't work for the meat that perisheth. Don't labor for that. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. And I want you to notice that where he's going with this. Down in, later on, he said, "I am the bread." What they wanted was bread. The body, the flesh. What's in it for me? But labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father sealed. Then say unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now notice that didn't just come out of nowhere. He just said, work for the right thing. Labor for the right thing. Well, how do we do that? Is what they're saying. How do we do that? How in the world do we labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life? Jesus answered and said unto them, here's how: believe on him whom God sent. In other words, don't do anything. Labor to enter into rest in Christ. Work to not work. Endeavor to just receive the Lord Jesus. Believe on him. That's the work of God. Double meaning there. It's God's doing. And it's what he causes his people to do. Believe. He gives faith in Christ. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" So he said, believe is the work. And they said, why should we believe on you? It's basically what they're saying. What are you going to do to impress us enough to believe on you? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. They had something substantial that they could see, and it clearly came from God. That's not faith. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he." God's bread, that which sustains the soul, that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, is a person, which cometh down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who's the world? It's not everybody, is it? It's not everybody there, and it's not everybody in John 3:16. It's everybody without distinction, not everybody without exception. The world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am. It can't be much clearer than that, can it? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's where we read a while ago. You see the context of that? What is God's will? And that goes back to where we read in Matthew 7. To do the will of God, to do he that doeth the will of my Father. That's who enters in. And God's will is Christ. God's way is Christ. Now, Christ is the way that leadeth unto life. He is God's will for the sinner. Everything else and everyone else is the way that seems right but ends in destruction. And it's just called one way. You can call it whatever you want to. But it's man. The mark of the beast is man, man, man. Now this next verse I want to read in the last few minutes we have is so familiar that it's hard to even hear it anymore. I think you probably know what I mean by that. You hear a verse so often and so much and that you just sort of glaze over when it's read. It becomes too familiar. But I want you to think beyond what we usually do about this and what our Lord said. Turn to John 14 with me and we'll close there. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. This is our Lord comforting his disciples just before he left this earth in a bodily form. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let it trouble you that I'm leaving, because the reason I'm leaving is for you. It's for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The whole point of all of this, like we said a while ago, is being with him. Being with him. And you know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. That's what he said here. You know the way. You know how that happens. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He's still thinking in fleshly terms and earthly reasoning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He said, where I'm going, he said, I go to the Father. I go to the Father. And how is that going to happen? He's going to bear my sins. He's going to take my sin upon him in such a way that he is charged with them and punished for them. So how is that going to happen? And he get to the Father with sin, with my sins upon him. Well, he's going to put them away. He's going to pay for them. He's going to redeem us from them. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Things that we think of as often subjective, and religion teaches that. They say, well, you're you know, there we're all going to the same place. We're just going a different way. I've heard people say that. The truth. People talk about your truth and my truth. What? Life. What is life? Life is a person. No man cometh unto the Father, which, as I said, is the point of everything. The temple, the tabernacle, the gospel. But by me, by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Think about what he's saying there. We want to see God. You can show us God. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? There is a way, and then there's the way. The way that seemeth right to man is due. The way that leadeth unto life is done. Done. Don't come to enter the kingdom of heaven talking about what you've done. Have we not? Our Lord said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's how you come to God. By Christ your righteousness, by Christ your sin offering, by Christ, period. Let's pray.